You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions. Thank you for joining me today. He who sins is of the devil, which I understand is quite a sharp statement to make, but it's right here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We need to never underestimate the nature of sin. Why? Because its origin is demonic. I know the fruit of it is not always a demonic possession, but is a demonic result. It is a fruit of the devil's influence on the human nature, on society, on a culture, on creation. We could see how sin has affected creation in that everything has started to die and to wither away, and that the temporal that we now have given ourselves over to is starting to evaporate without the light of the life of God giving it new life. And the same is true. We were never to worship our bodies. No, our bodies are to be the temple of the Heavenly Father's holy presence, giving it life, emanating its nature, its character, its goodness, its love, its kindness, its peace, its holiness, its righteousness, and so forth. But our bodies are never to be the ones in charge of our appetites. And I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about moral appetites or entertainment appetites. But people live in the weakness of the flesh, which is the expression of the very indwelling nature of sin within us, the weakness of the flesh. And we need to not ever underestimate that power, because the Bible says he who sins is of the devil. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, verse 1, God made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, sin causes us to be separated from God. Sin causes us to be spiritually dead. We are dead to God. We're without hope and without God in this world, Ephesians would say. Now, he says, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, listen now, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, those who don't respond to the gospel, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. He's describing the nature of sin, fulfilling its desires of the flesh and the mind, whereby, by nature, we were children of wrath, just as the others. In other words, that causes God's wrath to come when you live only to please self instead of to love the Father. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together by grace, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places and so forth, so forth. It's all so rich. Oh, I love this language. But loving friends, I pray that you realize that the nature of sin is no trivial issue. It is the very reason for all the sorrow in this world. And there's only one remedy. There's only one mediator given between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many. It is Jesus who bore the punishment of our sins in his own body on the cross, having died to sin that we might live for righteousness, by whom stripes ye are healed, 1 Peter 2:24. The power of Jesus is so phenomenal and so glorious. Go with me a couple of pages further to Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1, listen, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who now has qualified us, made us worthy, in other words, to partake of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Did you know that? Did you know that because of what Jesus has done for you and me, that now we have been made worthy to share the holy, heavenly life of all the saints in glory, that we down here, while still in this body of death, partake of that heavenly life through the Holy Spirit revealing Christ in us, and that the same life that is now perfected in all of them in glory is being perfected in us as we daily are renewed in the image of man and are transformed from one degree of His glory to another. Oh, my dear friends, Jesus is wonderful, wonderful, and He never fails to renew us and revive us and comfort us by saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Sin is no more your master. I am now your master. Look to me. My righteousness, my peace and joy in the presence of the Father is what I impart to you. My life that I have in the Father is what I form in you. Don't be afraid. I will not fail you. I will uphold you. With my own righteousness, I will strengthen you with my life-giving spirit. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I have a place prepared for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Believe, trust me. Don't doubt. Look to me, and you will be saved. Oh, praise God when the scripture lives in your heart and you have the light on your path, knowing no matter how dark it is in this world, the light of Christ's life shines in our hearts, giving us joy unspeakable of the hope set before us in Jesus, that we know we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, who is our life. And so, thanks to the Father who has qualified us, made us worthy to partake of the inheritance of the saints in the light, because He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is why Jesus is at the Father's right hand. Having received all authority in heaven and earth and under the earth, He now reigns in us with His holy heavenly life, enabling us to live as He lives. And if that wasn't so, folks, we'd all wither away in our own weak failings. But praise God, Jesus never fails to love us and to uphold us and to give His life into us so that we may live because He lives. Oh, friends, be encouraged. Jesus will not fail you. If you say, Pastor, I can't feel it, I can't see it, all I feel is the oppression, all I feel is the depression, all I feel is the weariness, all I see is my failings and my weaknesses, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus through the tears of sorrow. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Remember the tax collector who did not dare look up but beat his chest and said, oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Jesus said he went home at peace with God, because God responds to those who trust Him to save them through Jesus Christ. Now, I know I've gone through this myself. The demonic forces can be so forcefully demonic and evil, insisting to keep us prisoners to our failing nature of the flesh, to keep us prisoner to our own passions, desires, wants, needs, and torment us with lack and want and frustration and depression. And the devil's so cruel and mean, and he attacks us. But praise the Lord, we have a Savior who delivered us from the power of Satan, and sin no longer has dominion over us, because Jesus died to sin and we were baptized into His death and have risen with Him to newness of life, and He now reigns in us and we live by His life. And here in in Colossians 2 verse 11, look at this. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So He's using all language of the Old Covenant about circumcision to show them that what cuts away the nature of sin of the flesh from us is the nature of life in Christ in us. Or he would say in Romans 8 verse 2, the life of Christ has liberated me from the law of sin and death. And he says, buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And you, listen now, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, sin nature in the flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Jesus did it all for us. Listen now, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now listen to this. I know this language is so condensed, and it's so holy, full of the knowledge of the whole scripture. And when you begin to study the whole scriptures, these messages come alive to you, and they are just phenomenal. You see, the sin nature would not allow us to fulfill not just the demands, but the nature of the law. Our sinful nature in the flesh was contrary to the holy nature of the law. The law says, don't commit adultery. Our sin nature will cause us to look at another person's body and lust after it, and thereby show it's contrary to the nature of the law that could not do such a thing. And so, the law was contrary to our nature because of sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ wholly satisfied the demands of the law, not only in the obedience that he showed to the Father, but in the nature by which he obeyed when he not only lived in the nature of the law, by which he suffered the pain of sin in his own body on the tree. And when he suffered the pain of sin, Jesus, listen closely, satisfied the demands of the law by the nature by which he offered himself to God, as in saying to God, you are right, this is evil, this is wrong, I accept the punishment for this evil and wrong. And the spirit by which he accepted the punishment is what satisfied the law, that the law's demands were met in Jesus. Thereby he removed the law from being able to accuse mankind, since he is man. And he took away thereby Satan's power from being able to accuse us. He completely disarmed the devil's ability to accuse us, because he removed the charge that was against human nature, the charge in God's holy law. He removed the charge. This is why Romans 8 says in verse 34, 35, there is no charge against God's elect, because God has justified. How has God justified? By raising Jesus from the dead and declaring him blameless and holy in his sight as his son, raising him from the dead. That life by which he raised Christ from the dead is what he now gives in us, by which we reign over the accusations of the devil, by which we reign over the devil's pestering cruelness when he comes against our human nature and says, well, you know better. Well, you should have, you could have, you wish you would have. And the devil comes with all that pious evil to destroy us with condemnation, with guilt, and with shame. But the Lord arrests the devil's power from tormenting you any longer by saying, Jesus paid it all. I love that song. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Oh, how I love that song. before the throne of God above. I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Oh, I love these songs. They are the redemptive songs of the saints in glory, and now we can sing them together with them because we have been made worthy through Christ in us to partake of that heavenly nature that rules over sin and Satan, and Satan has absolutely nothing anymore he could even accuse you from. There's nothing in God's presence that can condemn you when Jesus Christ is your Lord. Amen. Have a good day.